There is a handout today, but I don't want you to read it until after we're through with class. So it'll be given out. It'll be given out at the end of class this morning. So today we're going to talk about David moving the ark to Jerusalem. We've been talking about the motion, the travels of the tabernacle and then of the ark. They got separated, you recall, during the time when Eli was the high priest. And so we're going to look at some questions that we had at the end of the last lesson that we didn't get around to discussing. I wanted you to kind of think about them. Last week we talked about the fact that God allowed the ark to be taken out of the most holy place, taken into battle and captured by the Philistines, and then taken on a tour throughout Philistia. And all of the disaster that brought upon them. And then sent back to Israel. And there were some questions about that. Why did God allow the ark to be captured? They lost a small battle at Ebenezer. And so they went back to camp, you recall, and decided that what they would do would be go get the Ark of the Covenant, bring it into the battle, that let God lead them into glorious victory. But it didn't turn out that way. What happened? Why did he allow that to happen? It was a big disaster. 30,000 troops were lost. Is the power behind it? So he allowed the ark to be captured. What if the Philistines had just destroyed it? He didn't. God didn't allow that, is he? And that's an interesting point, that God's in control of things, even though he didn't control the battle and allow the Israelites to win. He didn't lose, did he? He went into Philistia after. What were the Israelites trying to do? Well, they were trying to defeat their enemies. And God went into Philistia and defeated the enemies. There were thousands and thousands of the Philistines that died in the plague while the ark was on a seven-month tour through three or four cities of the enemy. And so God was not powerless, was he? What happened in Dagon's temple, do you remember? They set the ark up in one of their temples to their god Dagon, their chief deity. And what happened? It fell down before the ark, didn't it? Dagon bowed down to God. And they set him back up, and the next day they came in there, and his head and arms had been broken off. And so God wasn't powerless at all. What good did moving the ark to a different city do? They had it first in Ashdod, and everybody got sick, and lots of people died, and so they said, well, let's move it to a different city. Somehow that doesn't sound like clear thinking to me, does it to you? Of course, it may not have been due to the ark being there. That was their test to see, let's move it to another city, and they did. What happened there? Same thing. Moved it to Ekron. Same thing. So they decided they'd send it back to Israel. Why did the Philistines send the ark back to Israel? Why didn't they just throw it in the ocean? Or hit it with a... Of course, they had already suffered tremendously at the hands of this God of Israel But you're right. They honored the gods of all of the lands, and so I guess it never crossed their mind that they should just burn the ark up or throw it down a deep hole or something. And if they had intended to do that, what would have happened? I don't think God would have allowed that, would he? Now, they send it back, and it goes where? To Beth Shemesh, and were the Israelites glad to get it back? Yeah, they were quite rejoicing at the recovery of the ark. It came back on a... How did the Philistines send it back? They sent it back how? Put it on a new cart pulled by two cows, and the cows went right where they were supposed to go. That was another test of the Philistines, that the ark should go back, not deviate off of the road, and it went. It went right back into Israel. And what happened there at Beth Shemesh? Well, they mishandled it, didn't they? And it says some 70 people died because they either viewed the ark or looked into the ark. It isn't clear from the language. But and God killed them. And so fear struck them, and they sent to Kiriath-Jearim and said, come get the ark. And so in the midst of the celebration, it stopped. And they sent some Levites came and got the ark and took it to the house of Abinadab, you remember. And it stayed there for a long, long time. Why didn't the Israelites put the ark in the tabernacle? Pardon me? Well, that's an interesting question about where was the tabernacle at this time. The Israelites had been threatened by the Philistines, and they chased them back toward Shiloh, where the tabernacle was, and some scholars have supposed that the tabernacle was destroyed by the Philistines, but that's not the case. It's clear further on down the road that they're dealing with the tabernacle that Moses made. They didn't have to reconstruct it or anything. Apparently the Israelites had taken it apart and moved it to a safe place, but they rebuilt it. I mean reassembled it. And why didn't the Israelites put the ark in the tabernacle once they got the tabernacle rebuilt? That's a mystery to me, and I'm not sure why. What did the Israelites want God to do? What kind of a God did they want? Why were they unhappy with God as their king? Why do you suppose? They had in the past had the pillar of cloud and fire to see. But at this point in time, I don't think they did anymore. Maybe, okay. What do you think? I can't hear you. I'm sorry. What? Well, that's coming up, isn't it? That they want a king that can lead them in battle. And that's kind of what they wanted the Ark of the Covenant to do. Take it to battle and it will lead them to glorious victory. And that's what they wanted God to do. Is there a lesson in there for us? I mean, one of the things we're trying to look at in this class is that we have a temple in our hearts where God dwells, and we don't want to make the mistakes that they made, that Israel made. And so Israel took God out of took the Ark of the Covenant where God dwelt, and they assumed that God stayed with the box. I think that's pretty clear. And they took it out of the most holy place. Now your most holy place is your heart. So you gotta take care of God in your heart, don't you? You have to treat him right. And what does that involve? I think one of the biggest lessons here is who's in charge? Are we gonna make the decisions about winning our battles, or are we gonna let God make the decisions about the battles we fight and whether we win or lose? That's a tough one when you face some things and you don't know whether how God wants it to turn out. What is it that we're taught to pray in problems like this? What did Jesus say?